Hi. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and how I would start that is, hi, my name is Diane, and I'm an alcoholic. I wanted to start by, in the fall of 1976, I was in a car accident. I used to say a tree hit me. But in all honesty, I was drunk driving, and I hit a tree, and I totaled my car, my brand new Maverick, and I ended up in the hospital. I got 56 stitches in my head and 33 in my chin and in my mouth. And as the doctor was stitching me up, he said to me, Diane, you stink. You know, and I was ashamed, and I was drunk, and I didn't know what to say to him. And a week later, I had to go back and get those stitches out. It was 9:30 in the morning, and the doctor said to me, Diane, you stink, and you're nothing but a drunken bum. This was an emergency doctor at Salem Hospital. And again, I didn't say anything because I knew he was right, and I was full of shame. That afternoon, I went to detox, Danvers State Hospital. And if anybody knows or had ever visited Danvers State Hospital, it was built in the 1800s. And in this particular building where they had the detox, was very old, and the pipes were still covered with asbestos, and it was maybe one bathroom to each floor, and there was four floors, if I remember correctly. And I have just a vague recollection of going into detox because I was so drunk and I was in what they call a blackout, which means I didn't really know anything that was going on. And the next thing I knew, I was in an isolation room, and my body was racked in pain and convulsing over the delirium tremors, which is commonly called the DTs. And I was shaking, and I was relieved of all hope. And I was looking at rats with human faces telling me how no good I was. After the DTs had simmered down a little bit, they brought me into another wide room about as big as the first floor here. And it was full of cots and beds filled with men and women who, like me, were suffering from the ravages of addiction and trying to get detoxed and sober. As I laid there in a cot and with just a blanket, because there really wasn't too much they could give you, there was a woman walking around, going to each cot and saying a few things. And she was a blur to me because I was just so sick. I was just so sick. I couldn't lay there still. And I was dying physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I didn't want to live, and I was too afraid to die. And she slowly walked over to me, and I could tell that she had a uniform on and a cape and one of those weird bonnets. And I recognized she was from the Salvation Army. And she came up to me, and she handed me this little package. And she said, Merry Christmas. And I looked at the package, and in the package was a face cloth, a small bar of Ivory soap, and a package of Kleenex, and a root beer barrel candy. And to this day, it's the best Christmas present I ever got. And she looked at me and she said, God loves you. And I looked at her and I said, no, nobody loves me. And I was full of hopelessness. And I was full of despair, and I was full of self-hate. And she said to me, God will always love you, no matter what. And I looked at her, and I said, no matter what? And she said, yes, he cares. And I looked and I thought about that time, and I'll never forget it. And that was around 40 years ago. And I realized at that moment that I was touched by grace, because she left me with hope. And she left me with a gift, not only of that little package, but a gift of her love, of her higher power. And I knew at that very moment that God was looking at God. Alcoholism and any kind of addiction has been taught to me to be a threefold disease: physical, mental, and spiritual. The physical aspects of addiction is a desire and a need to keep taking and doing whatever feels good, whether it be alcohol, narcotics, people, anything, candy, food, diets, anything that you can become obsessed with. And your body, your mind, and your spirit needs that more than anything else in the world. The obsession is, how many times have you heard, she can stop, or he can stop if they want to? No, they can't. Each morning, an addictive personality can wake up and say, I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to take drugs today. I'm not going to think about that all day. I'm just not going to do it. And as the day wears on, the insanity of the addiction moves in and says, well, you can just have one. You can just do this once. And I'm off and running again, because one is too much and 25 is not enough. And we go on that. And the loss of spiritual values is when the lying and the cheating and the hopelessness starts in. You know, when you promise your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your husband or wife, and you say, I'm not going to do it today. I promise I'm going to be good today. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to work out. I'm going to be good today. And then by noontime, you're drunk all over again. And you're using all over again, or you're looking for the candy, you're looking for anything to make you feel better, because you're obsessed with that feeling that you need to feel good. And only something can do that. Something has to make you feel good. Because God forbid if you stay in your own mind for just 1 second or 1 minute, because the pain and the anguish that you have caused with yourself by not being able to be true to your own self takes over, and you need to hide from it. And you end up in an alley. You end up homeless. You end up with a family not wanting you anymore. You end up being hated and scorned. You end up feeling like you're not worth it as a mother, a wife, a sister, a brother, or a son. You just don't feel that worthiness. So you go and you look for help. And you fight that on a daily basis. Getting sober, getting away from addiction is the hardest thing any addict can do. And they can't do it without grace. I walked into the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was told that I meant something. I was told that I would be loved until I could love myself. I was told that I was insane, that the mental part of this disease told me that I could drink and I could take and I could be anything that in safety, and I couldn't. And I went one day without a drink or a drug. And I found, as I watched the people in Alcoholics Anonymous teach me how to stay away from a drink one day, how to stay away from a drug for 1 hour, how to reach out and pick up the phone and talk to another person and tell them I wanted to drink so bad. And they'd say, you don't have to. Just go 1 minute without a drink. And I did that. And then in the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's always a big plaque or a sign or a drapery that says, "But for the grace of God." And I would look at that, and it was just words to me. But then I realized exactly what grace was. When I saw another person helping go and get a cup of coffee and bring it to somebody that was shaking so bad that they couldn't hold it, and they only filled it half full so that person wouldn't feel bad about stripping it. And I watched as people called each other and as people called people by their own names and helped them understand what the word dignity and grace meant. And I understood that if I went without a drink, if I went a day and treated myself with dignity and treated myself with the love, that I could be a woman of grace and dignity. And I watched as I got sober, I watched. And I watched people take other people by the hand and walk them through life. And I came to this church, and I saw people who tended their garden and brought the beautiful flowers here. And to me, that was grace. Because not only did they bring these flowers from the earth, but they brought their love and their attention and their devotion to watch those flowers grow and become the beauty they are. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be that flower. I watched people in community meals serve other people. And I would stand there because, you know, I'm getting sober and I'm still a pretty much of a jerk inside, you know. But outside, I look pretty good. And I said to myself, and I'm obsessed. Well, you know, you only can give them this much beans, and you only can give them one hot dog and only one thing, you know, that's all there is. And I would watch Sandra go to a person who was dirty and who couldn't hold the pot himself. And she brought that plate over and she said, "Can I help you?" And to me, that was grace. That was grace in the long run. I watched as three women brought flowers every single day and filled our altar with their love and their appreciation of the earth. And to me, that's grace. I watched people setting out the table and feeding us on coffee hour with their beautiful baked goods, because they baked them with the love to share with us their bounty. To me, that's grace. I watched as two friends walked down a path while I was looking at the beautiful Rocky Mountains and the beautiful Lake Louise that was in front of me. And I saw two friends sharing each other and sharing this beautiful atmosphere and loving each other. And I sat there and I looked down and I saw a fish. And I thought about this church as I was in, you know, the Canadian Rockies. And I realize how truly plentiful and grateful I am to be here. You know, I'm not judged here. I'm not judged in Alcoholics Anonymous. I am truly treated with the grace and dignity that I need. It's not just love that we love, it's the doctrine of this church. It's the grace. There's a prayer called the Serenity Prayer that says, "God grant me the wisdom, God grant me the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." I have that wisdom today. I have that courage today. You know, and it's because people like you showed their grace and their dignity and love so that I can carry on. And is any addicted person out there that comes to our church for food, for coffee, for breakfast, is greeted by the grace and dignity of this church and of each and every one of you. I want to thank you all for being in my life and being part of a sobriety that I owe to each and every one of you as I go one day at a time without a drink or a drug. Thank you. Can we go to hymn 205, Amazing Grace?